And we're back. It's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thanks so much for listening. Today we got a full day. We're going to talk about a number of things. We're going to start by talking about what is kind of taking over all of the news. If you watch the news, if you're on Twitter, if you're on social media, the news right now is healthcare. So that's what we're hearing, and we're hearing one side say that they have the answer to the last 8 years, and you're hearing another side say the answer was the last 8 years. And so we're going to dive into that just a tad bit. And if you're expecting a political show, that's not what you're going to get here. But we are going to talk about it because I do think it's important that we look at that as pro-lifers, that we look at it as hope supporters and try to determine, okay, what does that mean for us? What is this legislation? What is this healthcare? New healthcare, or is there a tweak of the old healthcare? Is it throw out the old healthcare and bring in new one? What does all that mean? And that's what we're going to start with today. But I want to cover a couple things first. If you want to learn more about Hope Resource Center, you can go to investinghope.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those places. If you want to contact me, you can at andrew@knoxvillehope.com. If you have questions about volunteering, if you want to donate, maybe you're listening, you're saying, you know what, yesterday I won the lottery and now I have millions and millions of dollars and I'm looking for a nonprofit to support. Well, Hope Resource Center is that nonprofit that you can stand with, and we would certainly welcome that. Even if you didn't win the lottery and you just woke up today and you have some money that you want to donate, you can certainly do that as well. investinghope.com. We would certainly welcome your partnership. So let's get into healthcare. Healthcare has been dominating the headlines. It doesn't matter where you go for your news. You're probably being bombarded with CBO analysis, political posturing, and of course, finger pointing. Those on the left are attempting to maintain perceived gains, while those on the right attempt to completely deconstruct much of the last 8 years as they seek to make their own gains. This type of back and forth makes for good political theater, but I'm afraid that this chase ultimately neglects those directly affected by the policies that are implemented in Washington. You see, when we live in a perpetual campaign season, we become spectators in an arena waiting for the next bold move from one side or the other. Now, that being said, it would be unfair of me to place all the blame on politicians when we are just as guilty. Cable news outlets are seeing massive ratings. Why? Because we're watching. My social media feed is full of pontifications. Many of our conversations are loaded with political speak as we run to our political corners to make the next great point and notch our next big win. We love the fight, the chase, and the perpetual campaigning as much as the campaigner does. This is what our discourse has become, or maybe it's what has always been. Either way, it's the antithesis to civility. Policies made in a vacuum may create great talking points, but they struggle to address actual issues at hand. It is not lost on me that my musings today may be viewed simply as just another hot take on healthcare. That, however, is not my motive. I instead would like to offer what Hope plans to do, regardless of what decision is ultimately made in the arena that is D.C. You see, our plan is simple. We will go to work. We will open our doors Monday through Friday, seeking to serve the men and women of this city. We will provide pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, STD testing and treatments, parenting education, and material assistance. We will provide all of these services at no cost. Politicians, lobbyists, and analysts will ultimately come up with a healthcare policy that is voted on and implemented. Some will see this policy as an end of a productive era, while others celebrate a move into a new era. I certainly have my opinions on this, but those can be saved for another day or maybe a conversation over coffee. The point I want to make today is that regardless of what is eventually drafted and made into law, we at Hope will continue to serve the way we have since 1997. We didn't charge our patients or their insurance carriers then, and we won't charge them now. This is our plan as long as you keep standing with us and the good Lord keeps providing for us. During our 20 years, Hope has seen politics in Tennessee and Washington change hands as Democrats and Republicans each enjoyed full control. We, of course, care about decisions being made in the Capitol, but we do not put our hope in those decisions. I don't want my words to be misconstrued today. You see, I support pro-life judges, legislation, and legislators. I desire for our leaders to see the value in life. I, however, am not content with those things. I believe that politics is upstream from culture. By this, I mean that culture drives our politics. Our politics do not drive our culture. This means I must engage, certainly at a political level, but it cannot stop there. This is why we do what we do at Hope. This is why we provide upwards of $600,000 worth of services currently, and will soon see those services expanded to Well Women visits. This is why I speak at churches, recruit volunteers, and partner with businesses. We believe that our impact in this city will see a trajectory change on the issue of life that I pray will eventually make its way to Capitol Hill. Today, somewhere in D.C., a meeting is taking place and lines are being drawn. Legislation is being crafted and decisions are being made. I can't do much about the direction of those meetings, but I can make sure that a young lady facing some very difficult circumstances in our city has a safe place to go, full of eager medical professionals ready and willing to serve her in her time of need. This is why we get up every morning, for the thousands we have served and the thousands of lives saved because of that service. Now that is something worth chasing. Thanks for chasing with us. You see, so as we watch the news and as we read the news and as we feel it just coming over us everywhere, there's news coming from everywhere, and some of it's fake news and some of it's real news and some of it we have no idea if it's real or fake and it's somewhere in between. Some of it's satire, and if you're on social media, you're seeing folks that they will share articles and they think that the articles are real, but in reality they're satire. They're made to poke fun at real news, but they look so much like real news that you believe them. And so, as I was coming in to do the show today, it was announced that they decided to postpone the vote on the new health care legislation that the Senate recently brought up. And that makes sense because what seemed like Republicans, conservatives, Democrats, liberals, nobody could get on the same page. And so let's postpone it and wait for a later date. The reason more than likely that they postponed it is because they didn't have the votes, and the last thing they want is a loss with this piece of legislation. And so we watch from afar, and at times we feel overwhelmed, and what can we do? How can we make an impact? How can we see a difference made in this country? How can we see a difference made in our city? And you see people out there marching, you see people out there protesting. And we've been part of that. I've been part of that at the March for Life in D.C. And you see all of these things, and you see commentary, and you see angry journalists on television. You see all of this. You see your friends that are getting worked up over this issue or that issue. And then you see folks that are rewriting history, and they're acting as if the current model that is being laid out for crafting legislation for healthcare is any different than the last model that was laid out. Because if you look at the last model, it was one party pushing it and the other party saying no, and the other party didn't have a say. And now we see this other party is pushing it and the other party doesn't have a say. It's politics as usual. So we've reached a point where it feels like everyone is just angry and everyone has run off to their political corners. What gets lost in all of that? Here's what gets lost, is we let that take over our world. We let that take over everything that we are a part of. And I've been there where all my thoughts, my conversations, everything runs to the politics of it all. And we act as if the entire country is just sitting in front of their TV watching cable news. But look at the ratings. They're averaging 4 million, 5 million views a night. Well, that's not even close. That's not even close to half the country, much less all the country. And so we have these vacuums that are being created, and where we just believe that everyone is soaking in all of this news. And what we find is there's a large part of our society that feels left out. There's a large part of our society that feels like no one is listening to them. We see this in rural America. We see this in inner city America. We're beginning to see it in suburb, middle class America, where everyone feels like they should have a voice, but most people feel like they don't have a voice. And so sure, we should be involved in the political process. I'm not arguing that. Absolutely, be involved in the political process. But let's not neglect the work that needs to be done. Right? So in 1997, the founders of HOPE said, look, we're not going to sit around and wait for the government to do something for these people. We're going to do it. We're going to partner with the local church. We're going to partner with businesses. We're going to partner with individuals in this city to make sure that men and women in crisis have a place to go. And so that's why we opened our doors in 1997, and that's why we opened our doors today in 2017. The mission hasn't changed. Sure, we've expanded services. We've grown over the years. But the mission of serving and taking care of people and providing the services that are needed, that didn't change. And so we're not going to sit around and wait for some healthcare bill to be passed in Washington when we have a young lady that is facing an unplanned pregnancy. We're not going to sit around and wait for some bill to be passed in Washington when we have a young man that is dealing with an STD. We're not going to sit and wait for Washington to craft a piece of legislation when we have a young lady that's been raped and in desperate need. You see, the things that are going on in Washington are needed. We need legislation. We need committees. We need those things. But that doesn't mean we just sit on our hands and do nothing here. And that's what I love about pregnancy center work. Because in the pregnancy center world, we are saying, look, we're here to serve. Laws will be passed. Right now, we have pregnancy centers in California and Illinois that are being told you have to promote abortion. That are being told you have to put up flyers that tell people about abortion. You have to refer people to abortion clinics. But you know what they're not doing? They're not closing their doors. Sure, does that make our work a little bit harder when we're having to refer for abortion? Certainly. In an ideal world, would a pregnancy center in California not have to refer for abortion? Certainly. But they're not going to close their doors. Because although legislation may make things a little bit more difficult for our work, it doesn't change the fact that our work is needed. And so our work is needed, so let's get to work. And that's what is happening at HOPE. That's what is happening at over 2,500 pregnancy centers around this country. Every single day saying, there's work to be done. John Piper has said before that missions exist because worship doesn't. So the goal of someone that loves the gospel, the goal of a ministry person, the goal of a follower of Christ is to long for a day where missions isn't needed. Because the day that missions isn't needed, worship will exist everywhere. Now we know that on this side, we won't see that day, but we still long for that day. So in the same sense, pregnancy centers, our goal is that we are no longer needed. That unplanned pregnancies, that crisis situations would not be happening all the time. That's what we're working toward. But we know there's a long way to go for that. But the work is worth it. Loving people is worth it. It's needed. So we're going to get to work. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. Stay tuned.
Though our bodies here will fade, though our strength grows tired and dead, and the breath that's in our lungs will pass away, we say, only your head, cover up, cover up.
And we're back. It's Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center, and the music you're hearing there is Chuck Hooton and Shoreline Worship. Give them a listen. You can find them on iTunes. Great music for sure. So I ended the last segment talking about everything that's going on in D.C. and if you were watching the news and I would just caution you on that. And I'm saying this as a person that used to spend so many hours taking in, ingesting the news, whether it be through print or television. And I'm even reminded now when I go back to see to visit my grandmama and granddaddy. So my grandmama and granddaddy, my mom's parents, they actually do have satellite and cable, where my dad's parents never had that. They just had what we would call the regular channels, which was, you know, the local channels. So my mom's parents, my grandmama and granddaddy, they have been exposed to the 24-hour news cycle because cable news, that's what you get. And I tried to explain this to some folks the other day. Why does it seem like news is now kind of taking over everything? And it's because we now have 24-hour news. In the history of this country, that wasn't the norm. You would get the nightly news. You may have the morning news, but you didn't have it all day long constantly. And now it's running all day long. One show just talks about the same thing the last show talked about, just with different people. And so you have this 24-hour cable news stream coming in all the time. And depending on which news outlet you watch, and everybody has their favorites for a number of different reasons, but depending on which one you watch, you are getting a slanted view at the news. So you may watch one and they go a little bit left. You may watch one and they go a little bit right. You may watch one and they go way right, or they may go way left. And so if we're not prepared for that, then all that does is fuel our emotions, and it gets us even more amped up. And then we get lost, and then we become headline readers. And so we're just reading the headlines, and then we don't actually read what's in the article. And they do that on purpose because that's what they call clickbait, and they want you to click on the article and read the article. Or even they just want the clicks. They don't really care if you read the article. They want that headline to grab you enough so that you would click it. And then they don't care what you do after that, because then you may share it. And so I say all that to say that when we do that, then what we become is we become people that don't see other people. We just become talking heads. Everybody's a talking head. Everybody is running off some form and some shape of talking points and refusing to look at someone in the eye and say, what are your opinions? I want to hear them. What are your thoughts? What are your beliefs on this? I want to hear them. And being willing to hear someone talk about their beliefs that you disagree with. Now, obviously, the hope is that they will then hear you out. And so we've created this weird place where we're not willing to have those conversations. And so then what we see is what we're seeing now, where all sides are just angry. Everybody's angry. And so when everybody's angry, I mean, think about this, the house you grew up in. If everybody was angry, how much stuff did you get done? Was that a fun place to live in when mom and dad just angry all the time about everything? Did you feel like that was a productive household? Or do you look back and go, oh, well, yeah, I mean, it was a lot of anger and then a failed marriage. It was a lot of anger, and then I never felt connected to my mom, or I never felt connected to my dad. Because when you let anger drive, you're never going, or anger and emotions, when you let those things drive you, you're not going to make good decisions. And so that's part of the reason why we're where we are with this healthcare issue, is because the goal ultimately was to, the past 8 years was to just get something on the books. It didn't matter if it was good. We just need to get something on the books. And so they did that. And then the goal for the other side was, it doesn't matter what we get. We just need to get that off the books. And no one sat down and said, we just need to do what's right by the people. That's what we need to do. And of course, that looks different for a lot of different people. But at least be willing to have that conversation. At least be willing to ask that question. What's right for the people? And that's why I'm saying, if you are listening to this today, and if you're waiting for legislation or a court decision or something to come to transform the culture for the life issue. If that is your model, if that is what you're going with, you're going to be waiting a long, long, long time. That doesn't mean we don't get engaged with those things, and I've said this multiple times on this show. We certainly engage with those avenues. But we can't just sit around and wait. So what are we doing in our communities? Are we helping that pregnancy center? Are we helping places like CareNet, Heartbeat International, NIFLA, Save the Storks, Students for Life, who I'm going to be having the president of Students for Life on the show in a couple weeks? Are we helping organizations like Brave Love, like Deeper Still, organizations around this country that are doing work every single day to celebrate life? Are we partnering with them? When we move to a new city, are we looking, where's the pregnancy center at in my city so that I can offer help? When you move out of that old city, are you looking back and going, do I still have the means to help that pregnancy center out in my old city? Are we looking to make impacts in our local church? Are we going to the pastors at our church and saying, what are we doing for the life issue? How can I be of assistance in that? Can I be a champion for life at our church? Can I be a liaison for Hope Resource Center within my church or whatever city you're in? Are we looking at ways to impact the schools around us? Are we looking at ways to partner with people around us? Because we've been waiting a long time for a court decision, a piece of legislation. And have we made strides in the right direction? Sure. We passed a 20-week ban on abortion in the state of Tennessee. We are seeing across the union, we're seeing some movement toward restricting abortion. We still got a long way to go. And so, like I said earlier, that politics is upstream from culture. But our culture is going to impact our politics, first and foremost. So let's impact our culture. Let's impact our neighbors. Let's impact our local church. Let's get out there and say, here are some issues facing my city. How can I help? If you're a pastor and you're listening to this, are you looking at things like that? Are you sitting down with the staff at your church and saying, look, what is happening in our city? Are there things that we could be doing to make a difference in our city? A gospel difference, a racial reconciliation difference, a life difference? Are there things that we could be doing better? And let's be honest, there's always things that we could be doing better. But at times, we allow ourselves to get in our bubble, and then we just get in this woe is me attitude. Folks, we have an opportunity to make such a huge difference. It isn't woe is me time. It is let's go to work time. We saw 13 patients yesterday. We saw a similar amount today. We're seeing people all the time. We're seeing a difference being made because of your gifts, because of your prayers, because of your volunteer hours. All of that. You're making a difference. The court decisions may come. The legislation may come. But I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know if that will happen. But what I do know is there's going to be a young mom that comes to Hope tomorrow. There's going to be a young man that comes to Hope tomorrow. There's going to be a woman that comes to Hope tomorrow in need. And we need you. We'll be back in a sec. Raise me up to where you are. Raise me up to where you are. We're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thanks again for listening. Learn more about Hope at investinghope.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and that's it. So we would certainly appreciate you joining us in this work. I want to kind of shift gears for a second. If you, the first half of the show, we talked about we don't put our hope in legislation and court decisions. I mean, we pray for those things, and we pray for positive to come of those things, but there is much work to do. And right now, what I want to read to you is how what that looks like when we put that into action. And so it's this was recently looked at WATE here in Knoxville, but it's also been featured at March for Life. It's been featured on, now it's gone national. And it concerns a student and a professor at the University of Tennessee. So a University of Tennessee social media post is going viral. Morgan King had to miss class because she couldn't find someone to watch her three-month-old daughter. It was her response from her professor that surprised her so much. In an email, the professor told King the next time she had trouble finding a sitter to feel free to bring the kid to class. The professor even offered to hold the three-month-old so King could still pay attention to class and take notes. And so King posted the note on Twitter, where it's been shared at this point, you know, probably close to 50,000 times or more. And then here's what the student said. I literally started crying because it's just so rare, especially teachers in general nowadays. They care to help the students and their obligations outside of the classroom. The fact that somebody was just willing to work with me and to excuse me from the quiz I missed and how to get caught up on that assignment, it just showed that she cared more about, not that I missed class that day, she cared more about me. She really just wants to see me succeed. King has had a tough time recently. She lost her mother to breast cancer last year, and she's working hard to finish her degree. The class she missed was a child and family studies class. King says she wants to work with children with special needs. But here's what the professor said. Listen to this paragraph. In the future, if you are having trouble finding someone to watch Corbin, please feel free to just bring her with you to class. I would be absolutely delighted to hold her while I teach, so that you can still pay attention to the class and take notes. I work for the Department of Child and Family Studies, so how terrible would it be if I was unwilling to have a child visit our class? I'm very serious with this offer. Just bring Corbin with you. I mean, listen, how awesome is that? Now I don't know the political stance of that professor. I don't know if she's a Republican or a Democrat, a conservative or a progressive. I don't know that. I don't know if she would consider herself pro-life or pro-choice. But what I do know is she is showing us how to stand up and help a mom that is in need. That's what she's showing us. She's showing us that, look, this student can have her baby and her dreams. So regardless of what her political stance is, regardless of what any of her stances are, the message there is clear. And it is a message that the world needs to hear. That just because you had a baby doesn't mean that your dreams end. That just because you had a baby doesn't mean that your college degree cannot happen. What this teacher is saying is what all of us need to say. Look, you can have a baby and still reach the goals that you've set out for yourself. It may be difficult, and there may be days where you miss class. But what a beautiful picture of this professor at the University of Tennessee. And I'm bringing this up for a number of reasons. I think at times there are things that we go in hard after the university for some of the decisions that are made. But when things happen like this, credit needs to be given. And this is an amazing story of a professor just simply saying, no, bring your child with you. Bring your child with you. And it's awesome to see that happen. I don't know if I brought this up last week or not. Some of these shows and topics run together. But the other night I was watching the NBA draft. And I think he was the third player picked in the draft. He went to the Celtics, I believe. And you can fact check that, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think it was the third player. And so he's picked, and he He went to Duke for 1 year and left Duke and now is going to the NBA. And they're interviewing him after he was picked. So after he's done, he's taken his picture, he's got his hat on, and they interview him and they say, what's your plans? He's like, well, I really want to, now that I have the means, I want to start a foundation to help single moms. And I was listening going, what? This is amazing. This kid's 19 years old and he's already thinking about foundations and using his money for good. Well, then that intrigued me. And so I was like, I need to, because he talked about his mom being a single mom and working hard and helping him get to where he's at. And so I thought, well, I need to know more about this mom. So I Googled her. And she had him when she was 18. But she said that wasn't going to stop her. She went to college and she would take him to class with her. And one of the professors in this case would say, you can't bring your child, your son, to class. And she would say, I'm paying tuition and he isn't being disruptive and I'm going to finish my degree, but I'm a mom and I'm going to bring him with me. And do you know that she's completed 3 degrees? Communications, political science, and a law degree. As a single mom, raised her son, who went to Duke for 1 year, one of the most prestigious universities in the country, and now is playing for the Celtics, which is one of the most prestigious franchises in the history of the NBA. All that to say, look, you can have your dreams and your baby. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, I'm going to start a foundation that tells single moms you can't do it. I'm going to start a foundation that tells single moms, look, there's just way too many obstacles in front of you. You just can't do it. No, he said, I'm going to start a foundation so that these single moms know that they can do it. So that they know that they can have their dreams and their babies. So that they know they're not alone in this. That should be celebrated. And the funny thing is, when we see the news media celebrate that, and then turn around and celebrate one of the largest abortion clinics in the country, it's... how they don't see the irony is it baffles me. When they point at the largest abortion clinic in the country and say they're saving lives, when just last year 328,000 lives were lost due to abortion in that same clinic. And so the inconsistent narrative on life is why we struggle with doctor-assisted suicide. It's why we struggle with abortion. It's why we struggle with, well, my child may have some deformities or a disability or something, or it may have Down syndrome. Do I keep it? Do I not keep it? We struggle with those things because there's an inconsistent narrative on life in this culture and in this country. We found out we were pregnant, and the question was, well, do you want to have the test? Well, you probably don't because your husband works at Hope. As if that's a bad thing. And by test, I mean the test in the first trimester that can tell if there's some kind of abnormality or something wrong. And the reason this particular, in this case, the reason we were offered it was to, just in case you want to decide whether or not to keep the child. But then to say, but y'all probably won't because your husband works at Hope. So that's what they told my wife. As if that's a bad thing. That we, and my wife looked at them and said, I don't care what they have. I don't care what they are. That is our child. And we are going to have it. See that inconsistency of what life is and why it's precious and when it's not precious and how come it's precious at 9 months, but for some people it's not precious at 9 weeks? And the only difference is size and proximity? That's the only difference. The only difference between my 6-year-old and the 10-week-old baby that's currently inside my wife is size and proximity. That's it. That's the only difference between me at my age and me at 10 weeks old inside my mom is size and proximity and development. But I was just as much Andrew Wood inside the womb as I'm Andrew Wood right now. And for some reason, that's difficult for some to understand. And I don't understand why it's difficult. But that's it. I had the same DNA at 10 weeks. Same fingerprints. Same organs. Same spine. Same dreams. Same hair color. Red, praise God. All of those things the same at 10 weeks as I currently have now. But had my mom said at 10 weeks, look, I'm not going to do this, legally she could have got rid of it. Got rid of me. You see the inconsistency there? So I salute this professor at the University of Tennessee. Such an amazing story where she would look at a student and tell the student, look, you matter. Your baby matters. And I'm sure you've had enough obstacles in your life. I'm not going to place another obstacle in your life. You bring that baby to class. We'll make it work. That is awesome. We'll be back. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center. Again, that music is Chuck Hooton, Shoreline Worship. Look him up on iTunes, YouTube. Very talented guy, that Chuck, and the whole worship team over there at Shoreline Church. So today we've talked about a number of things, and we started at the top of the hour looking at healthcare and everything that's going on. And the point that I wanted to make with all of that is, look, there's work to do here. So I know at times we can allow ourselves to get overwhelmed at looking at the big picture and saying, man, there's no way we're going to be able to climb that mountain. And what I'm telling you is there's a lot of work being done right here on the ground every single day at places like Hope Resource Center. So partner up and watch as you see the impact that's being made, as you see families transformed, as you see moms transformed and babies saved and marriages saved and all of that happening because you stand, because you give, because you partner with us. It really is amazing what's being done. We had a situation I wish I could go into just this week. And I know today's just Tuesday, but I can't go into great detail. But what I want to tell you is, in more ways than you can even fathom or begin to see, your gifts aren't just giving pregnancy tests and ultrasounds and STD testing and treatment. It's not just helping with parenting class. It's not just helping with baby showers. But your gifts to Hope Resource Center is allowing us to have a place where nonprofits can come together, where organizations can come together and create a safety net for someone in need. And one day maybe I can tell you that story, but right now I can't. But just believe me when I say that. And so the difference is being made. I spent, and I know some of you are like, well, you're young, but I've spent a lot of years of my life focusing solely on what's their political agenda, where do they stand on politics. And I missed out on real relationships. I missed out on looking at people as image bearers. Now some would say, well, it's not like the other side's being nice to us. Well, no, they're not. But we're not called to react to how they're treating us. We're called to treat them a certain way, right? And so what I'm saying is, yes, get engaged with those things, have conversations with leaders, you know, call your congressman, do all of those things. Do all of those things. Along with partnering with the local church, along with partnering with nonprofits that are making a difference. had a meeting last week with a couple nonprofits in town and a pastor, and just looking forward to what God's going to do in that as we partner with FCA and we partner with Street Hope and their organization working to fight human trafficking. And seeing how God brought us all together right there at Providence Church with Chad Sparks to say, we have work to do here. And we have the means and the organizations in place to make an impact. And we have the supporters, that's you, that can stand with us and help us make that impact. Because when we do that, we will see a city transformed. We will see a people transformed. We will see lives saved. I believe that. And so join us. You can go to investinghope.com, click the donate button. If you want to talk to me about more of what we do, you can email me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. We'd love to have that conversation with you. Maybe you're at a church and you're saying, look, my church would love to partner with you. If you're a pastor, we're having a pastor's breakfast coming up. I'll have more details about as we get closer. That'll be in September. But we're looking for ways to partner with the local church more so than we already do. Looking for ways to partner with individuals more so than we already do, with businesses more so than we already do. And so in doing that, we will see lives transformed. We will see babies saved. At times, we're going to see marriages saved. We're going to be able to assist those in getting out of bad situations. Mentoring people that are in desperate need. We do all of that because you partner with us. And lastly, I would just say, if you have a chance, share that new story about the professor at UT and the student. Because when we see wins like that, when we see life celebrated like that, we need to celebrate along with them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And we're rejoicing with that young mom that's trying to achieve her goals and her dreams and her degree. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Lift your head, weary sinner. The river's just ahead. Down the path of forgiveness, salvation's waiting.